Ephesians. We're going to be in two passages, but the main one is Ephesians. I hated that dumb little mouth thing this morning. It was all over my ear, and it was falling off. I have too small of ears. That's the problem. It's not its fault. It's my fault. Kept getting louder and quieter and flip it around. It wasn't good. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. I promised you this morning that I would be speaking along the same vein. And so we're going to be talking about walking with purpose, right? So we understood that the whole point of the message this morning was that we walk, we step where Jesus steps, right? That's the only way that we have any type of ability to have justice and mercy is to walk humbly with our God. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in depth tonight about walking with purpose. And really we're talking, the gist of the message is the time that we have. So Ephesians chapter 5, you should be there. And you're going to have to actually use your Bibles because I don't have anything on the screen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And if you need to use your phone for an app, that's fine. If you guys aren't aware of this, they do have a Bible app and some other, whether it's you use an iPhone or an Android or anything in between, just download on your app store. And one that I use is the Life TV Bible because it has even Bible plans that you can walk through. And so I love being able to follow that. But so do that now because we're gonna be in a lot of text today. And this evening, but I want to make sure that each one of us are following along. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, once you have your place there, then hold your place and go to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. But we won't go there yet. We'll stay at Ephesians. I'll read that passage, and then you'll flip over to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. All right, let's read that text. The Bible says, see then that ye, here's this word again, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, hold your place there. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we're going to be talking about walking with purpose. So let's pray. Father, I pray you would help me to communicate your word clearly tonight. I pray that this would be a help and a challenge. And most importantly, Lord, that it just be your word. Lord, that's what I'm doing. I'm unpacking your word, and I'm allowing the context of what was happening in this time and bringing it to our situation here in Grand Rapids. And Lord, that we can apply it to modern day. Lord, that's what's so amazing about your word is Hebrews 4:12 says that your word is quick, it's powerful, it's alive. And Lord, because of that, it has power to change your lives no matter what context or situation or culture that we're in. And so I pray you would help me to expound upon your word clearly. And Lord, keep my thoughts and my words precise in that we would understand this idea, this concept of redeeming the time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, in an average lifetime, right, just some statistics. How many like statistics? Anyone in here? Sometimes I struggle to say the word, but I like them. In an average lifetime, the American, okay, an average American spends 3 years in business meetings. Think about that for a minute. 3 years of your life is in business meetings. And some of you are like, that's not even close. I'm probably, you know, way more than that. I feel like I'm in a lot of meetings. Okay? You think that's bad, though? Okay? 13 years watching TV. We're talking about straight. We're talking about 13 years straight watching TV. That's literally what's happening. 13 years watching TV, okay? We spend $89,281 on food, just individually for ourselves. Got an amen out of Tyler. You're probably make that average go way up. I'm just saying. Consumes, he brings this one up as well, 109,354 pounds of food, right? And makes, I thought this was funny, 1,811 trips to McDonald's. Also, the average person in a lifetime spends $6,881 in vending machines. $6,881 in vending machines. I like this next one, especially the holiday season's coming up. We eat about 35,138 cookies, right? So you could definitely say we're all cookie monsters. We eat 1,483 pounds of candy. We catch 304 colds. In Michigan, it's double that, right? We are involved, this one's funny, in 6 motor vehicle accidents. It's funny because Tyler got all of them in 1 year. So he brings that statistic up as well. All right. We are hospitalized 8 times on average as a man and 12 times as a woman, right? And I think probably what that higher statistic is pregnancies. I'm guessing that's what that is. That or just guys, we're just safer. I mean, that's what it is, right? We just need to be honest about it. I don't know. And then check this out. Some of you are like this and you're like, I don't get enough of this. We spend 24 years sleeping. 24 years sleeping, all right? So that's the average breakdown of somebody as an American in an average lifetime. Another breakdown, I'll just kind of throw this out here a little bit more of what we're talking about is, let's say the average life, we know it's higher than this now, but at 70 years old, in this time, this is what this would look like on a percentage, okay? We sleep, again, around 23 to 24 years, that is 32.9% of our time. So our life, 33% of it's already gone just in sleep. Think about that. Some of you are like, I want more. I know what that's like. I have a less than 2-month-year-old son. Work, okay? 16 years of our life is at work. So you complain about sleep, but we actually work less than we sleep. That's 16 years or 22.8%. Spending time, again, watching TV, if it's between the 8 and 13 years margin, that's 11.4 to 14% watching TV. Eating, we spend 6 years of our life just eating, consuming food. That's 8.6% of our life. Leisure would be 4.5% or 4.5 years or 6.5%. This time that we've spent sick, have an illness, is 4 years. Think about it. You're literally on average for 4 years you're sick. You're like, you're sick. Okay, I got it. 5.7%, would that be that number? So 5% or 6% of your life. Okay, this is funny. Just dressing, right? Getting changed in the morning or evening or whatever. We spend 2 years or 2.8% of our life just getting dressed. And then I thought this was interesting, how much time people say on average that they spend in their relationship with a religion or church, 0.5 years. Or 0.7%. I thought that was interesting. So this is the average amount of spent time, and we're talking about functions that are at church or activities or anything along that line that would be some type of religious activity, less than 1%. So what is life all about? That's the question for us this evening. What is life all about? Is it just doing things? Is it spending time like doing things like eating for 6 years straight or dressing yourself for 2 years? Is that what life is all about? And this passage, or actually these two passages together, address this aspect of walking with purpose. What is our purpose? What do we walk for? Someone once said that the tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that we wait so long to start it. So I want to unpack some truths here this evening, and that is, life is a gift that has been given to each one of us in this room, and every single one of us in here, as far as I know, there's no one else that I'm aware of that would not be alive. Everyone's alive here this evening, and my challenge and God's challenge for us is to make the most of the time that we've been given, to walk with purpose, to walk circumspectly. But how do we do that? And that's what I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes unpacking. And there's 3 questions we need to ask ourselves to understand, are we walking a life with purpose? Are we walking our lives, this percentage of time that we've been given here on this earth, that each and every one of us, we understand that there is a clock that is ticking. And you do not get any more time on that clock. The Bible says there is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. Whether it is that Jesus comes back and our time is finished at that point, or whether we meet the end of our life or we get to the end of our life and we pass away physically, there is a clock that is ticking and each one of us have a limited amount of time. And there's one thing that you can't get more of, and that is time. So we need to be careful, we need to be intentional and have a purpose to what we do with our time. And so let's ask a couple of questions from God's word to tell us, are we using our time wisely? Are we walking with purpose? First question, what does God want from me? OK, Okay, this is going to be simple tonight. What does God want from me? That's the first question you have to ask yourself. And we find that in verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians. It says, see then, okay, this is what I want for you because of all this, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the idea of walking circumspectly is walking literally with your head on a swivel and just being aware and sober and serious about our time here on earth, that you're not squandering the time. This is the kind of life that God expects us to live, a life that is lived guided by his purpose. It's intentional. A purpose is something that you live for, a reason for the things that you do. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what does God want from me? He wants you to live with purpose. He wants you to live with mission in mind. And what is that mission? Well, we understand our mission is to continue the spread of the gospel through discipleship, through spreading that gospel. So we have to live on mission. We have to live with this mission every single day of our lives, every single second, every single minute. That needs to be a part of the choices that we make, because there needs to be a reason for the things you do. In fact, there was a man that you are all aware of. His name was Thomas Edison. And early in his career, his first invention he ever created was a voting machine. And it recorded the ballots that were brought in and for use in the legislative chambers. Obviously, we have those today, but he was well ahead of his time in that he actually created, and how it operated is by moving a switch to the right or left, an official could vote for or against a proposal without leaving his desk. And the machine was designed by Edison to replace the tedious business of making ballots and then counting them and the whole process. And so he was excited about this invention that he created, and so he was elated, and he said, all right, I want to make sure I go get a patent because this is such a revolutionary idea, and so he did that. It was his first patent. So he headed for Washington, and he eagerly demonstrated this new tool, this automatic voting record machine, and so he showed that before the chairman of congressional committees. And while all the people that were in that committee were congratulating and complimenting him and the specific gentleman, the chairman, he said, listen, this is ingenious. This is an awesome invention. He said, but we don't want it. So we don't want it. And this is his response, word for word. He said this, filibustering and delay in the tabulation of votes are often the only means we have for defeating bad or improper legislation. That's what he told Edison. Find that ironic. But here's the story. He was shocked. Edison was just shocked because here is an actual piece of equipment that is he thought was going to be useful. The intention was good. The invention was good. And he knew it and the chairman knew it. But still, it's not what he wanted. It's not what they wanted. And so Edison later said, there and then I made a vow that I would never again invent anything which was not wanted. And we think about that. And that Edison had the right approach, and we should have that approach as a Christian and walk the same way by asking the question, am I spending time on something that God would want? Right? Because he is perfect, and he's not going to allow us to waste our time on things if we don't have this direction in our life of asking God, okay, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my time? And so oftentimes, we don't ask that question. So if it's not what God would want, then don't do it, right? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Now, I know we can get super spiritual about this, and we said, okay, well, you know, how about, does that mean that we should never watch a movie? Should we never play a game? Should we never do any of these things? The answer to that is, it depends, okay? Does God ask for us to sit in a cave and just all day pray and neglect your family or just not at all be involved in what this world and the people of this world? Absolutely not. He's not asking us to be monks. However, I believe that we don't have that problem today as Americans. We lean towards the other side, which is a lot of wasted time. And so is a movie wrong? Absolutely not. Obviously it depends on what that movie is, but is listening to music, is there entertainment value? Yes. But you have to remember why, right? You have to ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? Am I watching this movie as an entertainment for our family together because it's a time for us to all maybe discuss the movie afterwards, or we're playing a game together and it's an opportunity for us to grow in a relationship, right? Because everything goes back to the relationships. We learned that this morning. The outward relationship with people, the upward relationship with God, and of course, even our own self. If we're tired and exhausted all the time, I've learned this because I'm a pretty go-getter person. I had this idea that I was not going to have no fun, like no fun, no leisure time, and I was just going to do that. And I tried it for like a month, right? And it was bad because I just was so exhausted, because you have to break away from the struggle, the everyday challenge, and break away and move away from that so that you actually have an opportunity to recharge and refresh, right? Jesus did that. He went away, and he would pray, and he would seek, and obviously, we don't know all the things that they didn't have TVs back then, but I'm sure Jesus with his disciples had a great time. Right? There's time for that. So we must understand that. So we're not saying that you need to be a monk. The Bible's not saying here that, listen, everything you need to do, it just has to be, you know, unless you're praying or reading your Bible, that's the only things you can do. No, that's not the question. What you need to ask this question is, why am I doing this? What purpose does this fulfill? Am I getting recharged by it? Yes, that's why I think vacations are phenomenal. Right? You need to be able to have time where you recharge. You need to spend time with your family. So here's a question to ask. Would God want me to spend this much time, right? That's the question. Would God want me to spend this much time on fill in the blank, right? And that's where I think the balance swings too far to the wrong side, and that is on social media and the amount of time that we're watching media forms and consuming content of Facebook and movies. They're not necessarily bad, but how much you spend time on them can translate into this. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what does God want from me, right? Well, we know he asks us to live with purpose, to live with intention. So this is where I want to kind of park it here, and we'll ask these two other questions, but this is really the idea behind this, what Paul is talking about, and that is we have to be very careful that we don't just come to church on a Sunday and then we get mission and we're like, yeah, people need to be saved and lives need to be changed and we're going to sing the songs, and then we forget about that on Monday through Saturday, right? That's what I see is the biggest problem today in modern Christianity, especially in America, is that we, even as Christians, even in Grand Rapids Baptist Church, even myself has been guilty of this, and I work here. I'm here in the office, and there are times where you get so bogged down, it's almost like the Mary and Martha kind of idea, where you're just so bogged down in what you think is important that you miss out on the main mission, and the mission is being a disciple and making disciples. So we ought not to come to church and sing these songs and then forget about it and listen to a message and forget about it and to serve in a ministry and then forget about it Monday through Saturday. You see, we have to make sure that we're intentional about discipleship. So the question that I have to ask you is simply this: what are you doing outside of Grand Rapids Baptist Church that is intentionally moving the mission forward, that is intentionally moving the gospel forward? And if your answer is, I'm not sure, then it's time to reevaluate, right? That's what this is saying. Walk circumspectly. Walk intentionally. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: what does God want from me? And that is to walk intentionally. If there's not intentional times throughout your week outside of Grand Rapids Baptist Church, I'm not saying it can be done through the local church. Of course, that's how Christ designed it. But if the church is corporately to you, everything the church does, what is the church made up of? A body of Christ, right? Who is that body of Christ? Me and you and everyone else that is in here. We make up that body. So many, oftentimes we pluralize these commands, but really they're singular. So we have to remember that. So that's question number one. What does God want from me? To live intentionally, to walk with purpose. But question number two goes along with that, and that is, how do I do what God wants? That's important, right? We looked at that this morning. But in this verse specifically, verse number 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do you do this? You buy up the time. That's what redeem means. How many of you have ever gotten a Groupon, right? You know what that is? You guys know what a Groupon is? Okay. You guys are liars if you're not doing that, because you're Dutch. I know you guys are getting deals, right? So you get to the Groupon, and what do? They say redeem. They mark the voucher as redeemed. Okay, what they're saying is that it's been used up. So what this passage is saying here, this verse in 16, it says, redeem or buy up the time because the days are evil. There's a quote that people use, and that is that the devil's workshop, right, or playground or whatever it is an idle mind, right? Because we don't buy up our time. We get into trouble when we are not intentional with our time. There's a lot of people in prison today because they were not intentional with their time. And Satan will use that. Don't question that. He will. Time is a precious commodity that we will never, ever get back. The way that we have a purposeful life is to redeem the time. The world has a lot of ways for us to consume, right? The world has a lot of ways for us to consume our time. It will throw everything at us. Hey, consume this. Go to this concert. Go to do this thing, right? The world will buy up your time for you if you're not careful. So we have to be intentional about it. What would God want? I was reading something the other day, and it was talking about consuming, right? If we're interested in losing weight, right? We always talk about these things called diets. And this is called the loser's diet, right? So I want to just follow this diet. This is what it says. Just follow this diet, and you are sure to lose, okay? So here we go. Breakfast, half a grapefruit, one slice whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. So good so far. Lunch, 4 ounce lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie, just throw an Oreo in there, and some herb tea, right? Not too bad. Mid-afternoon snack, rest of the package of Oreos, 1 quart Rocky Road ice cream, and 1 jar of hot fudge. Now we get to dinner. 2 loaves, garlic bread, large pepperoni and mushroom pizza, large pitcher of root beer, 2 Snicker bars, entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly from freezer. Starts out good, right? You're like, man, that sounds like a pretty good diet. But I like it. It had a couple of rules to follow as you keep this diet, right? Here's the first one. If no one sees you eat it, it has no calories. Right? That's good. If you drink a diet soda with a candy bar, they cancel each other out. That's obvious. We all knew that. Okay, here's another rule. When eating with someone else, calories don't count if you both eat. Okay? Food used for medical purposes never count, such as hot chocolate, toast, and Sara Lee cheesecake. Medical purposes. If you fatten up everyone else around you, then you look thinner. Okay? That's easy to live. Movie-related foods don't count because they are simply part of the entire entertainment package. It's not part of one's personal fuel, right? It's important. And then cookie pieces contain no calories. The process of breakage causes calorie leakage. Okay? That's important to remember. So anytime you break it down, you lose calories, which is important. Now, we laugh at this, of course. If you follow this diet, you will be a loser. You will not lose weight, but you will lose a lot of energy and a lot of sleep. Why? Because this is a terrible diet. And it starts out really well, but then it goes downhill very quickly. But this diet sounds a lot of like people who live their Christian life, right? They start out on Sunday, and man, they're singing the songs, and they're listening to the messages, and by the time they get to Friday or Saturday, their diet is consumed with things that are not of God. And we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we doing what God wants us to do? And how do we do that? By buying up our time. Listen, we will follow a loser's diet spiritually if we are not consistently buying up our time. We have to be careful to do this. I remember hearing about a prayer from somebody, and they said, Lord, so far I haven't cussed. I haven't yelled at my wife. I haven't done anything wrong. As far as, getting mad at my kids, I haven't lied, I haven't stolen. I'm about to get out of bed, so please help me. Now, how true that is. But we have to be intentional. We have to make sure that we are not rationalizing our behavior with statements like, well, if no one sees me sin, it doesn't count, right? Okay, or if I sin with my friends, then it's okay because everyone else is doing it. Right, it's easy to use those excuses, and we kind of play those rules sometimes as we say, okay, it's okay because so-and-so does this, and yet God says, no, let's be honest here. This ought not to be in your life, right? So we have to make sure that we're doing what God wants, and this kind of Christianity, this back and forth, and this starts out well, and then all of a sudden the real us comes out is just ridiculous. And it's just as ridiculous as the diet that we just talked about. When we commit ourselves to Christ, we commit ourselves to following Jesus over the long haul. We need to understand that. And so, number two, the question we say is, or ask ourselves is, how do I do what God wants? We redeem the time, we buy the time. If we're not specifically taking time, you know, maybe there's a time you say, this is just a family night, right? We're just going to spend time with family. Do you think God wouldn't want you to grow in your relationship with your family? Absolutely. That's a great thing to do. We know that. And so I know that some of you have family nights. My wife and I were just talking about this recently. We're like, we want Jackson to have a specific time where together as a family, maybe it's a movie night or whatever, we all hang out, we play a game, we do something together. That has to be intentional. Because guess what? If it's not intentional, it won't happen. And pretty soon your kids will get older and older and older. I know this will happen. Another thing that's really intentional that we do every single night, again, I'm kind of a more type A personality, so I'm always thinking about executing and finishing the next project. But as I was preparing for this message, my wife, we have this routine where every time we put Jackson down and we pray. And we pray for the church and we pray for the Cools and we pray for some whoever's going. Like we've been praying for Ryan and Jillia, and we pray for Jackson that he would grow up and that he would understand who Jesus is and he would be a follower of him and he wouldn't be forced to do that. Not something that we want him to do, but he'd really have a love for Christ and Christ would woo him to himself. And we do this whole routine when you put him to bed. We pray for him, we read a book, and we play some music together. And we do that. That's our routine. And I almost missed it because I was like, "Wow, I'm writing out my message for Sunday morning, and so I need to make sure that I get this done because this is important because I want to make sure that we're feeding the flock and that this is super important." But God said, "Listen, if you make this an excuse now, you'll do this for every other thing that comes up. You'll always make an excuse because you're not redeeming, you're not buying at the time." And so I said, "I'm going to put it down, and I'm going to go in there in the room." And guess what? I'll be honest, I haven't always done that. Now, with Jackson, I have because I said that's a priority, but shame on me for many times where my wife, we had a time where it was supposed to be us spending time together, but I allowed church work to push that off. Okay, same for us. If you're in this room and you work at a place, I understand. You got a job, you have to provide for your family, but why do you go to that job in the first place? So you can provide for your family and spend time with them, not just so you can do the circular rotation of going to work. So we have to understand the why behind what we do. And so it's important that we are redeeming the time. We are intentional with that time. All right? So how do I do what God wants? We buy up the time. And then number three, why should I do what God wants? This is a question we have to ask ourselves. Well, verse 17 answers this question, and that is, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then you go back to our verse in Romans chapter 6. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ye yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You say, well, why do we should we do what God wants us to do? Well, let me ask you a question. Why would we not live for ourselves? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? So if we have this approach and we say, well, why should we do what God wants us to do? Well, there's two reasons. But number one, the first reason is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And that is, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are whose? God's, right? So we've been bought by Christ. He's paid for us. And when you pay for something, that's something that you say you would own, right? If I purchase something at the store, I would own that, right? Because I paid for that. That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, I bought you with the price. And what was that price? It was Calvary. He paid for our sins. So, first of all, we belong to Christ. But second of all, the other reason is because it's the best place for us. I tell this to teenagers all the time. I say, listen, if you read your Bible and you just think that reading your Bible is, you know, you're checking off the box, but you have no intention of actually following after God, you don't want to live his way, then you're fooling yourself. Don't even read God's word, okay? Now, of course, I still want them to read God's word, but what I'm trying to explain to them is if their heart's not even in following after Christ, then we're just, it'd be like a doctor who or a person studying to be a doctor and reading all these manuals, but he doesn't ever want to be a doctor. He doesn't ever want to help anybody. The reason why God set up the things that he's done is not just a bunch of rules so that we just don't, you know, go outside of the bounds because God is just this evil God that keeps us within these boundaries. No, the reason why God set these things up because it's actually the best for you. He designed us. He is literally our designer. And this is our manual. And so when God says, hey, I want you to live with one man, one woman for life. That's what it's designed for. A marriage is designed for this. It's not because God's saying, well, I just don't want you to experience what it's like to have a promiscuous lifestyle because you're missing out. No, the idea is because God designed it that way to work out the best. The reason why God has designed us to say, hey, I want you to not forsake the assembly of yourselves together is not because God just wants, doesn't have anything better for us to do than except to go to church on Sunday or to remember the Sabbath day. No, it's because God knows that it will help us in our relationships with other people and with him. He knows that's what's best for us. When God says, hey, I don't want you to be drunk with wine, he's not saying, well, I just don't want you to get experienced or intoxicated what it's like to be under the influence of something else. No, he's saying, because you will damage yourself. You will damage your relationship with me and with others. Right? So all the rules, all the guidelines that God has created is really to protect us. He's designed us to know what's best for us. And so when we fight against that, we have the ability to do that because we have free will. But when we do that, we place ourselves in danger. And I want to finish with this. Not long ago, there was a Newsweek magazine that reported on what is called the New Wave of Mountain Men. It's estimated that there are some 60,000 plus serious mountain climbers just in the U.S. alone. But in the upper kind of tier of these serious climbers is a small elite group known as hard men, right? That's their name. And for them, climbing mountains and scaling sheer rock faces is a way of life. And it's the ultimate experience. What this experience is called, you've probably heard of it before, it's called free soloing. It's where they climb these rocks and these insane amount of heights with no gear, with no safety equipment whatsoever. They're free soloing. And I heard about this, and there's actually a documentary that came out about, it's called Free Solo, I think is actually what it's called. It's called Free Solo. And earlier this year, my wife, I'm not a super big documentary person, but that piqued my interest. And I was like, I want to watch this. And so my wife and I, well, she kind of fell asleep. So it was mostly me that watched it. She's like, I can't watch. No. She doesn't snore. It's about a man in this documentary named Alex Honnold. I don't even know how to say his last name. I just know his name. First name's Alex. And he's considered one of the best free soloists alive today. And this documentary kind of follows him around, and they have the cameraman. And I don't know if, how many of you have seen this? Has anyone seen this documentary? Okay. It's, you'll have lots of stress and anxiety watching it because it's just crazy what he does. But he has free soloed some of the most difficult rock faces in the United States with no safety rope, with no other partner, just he and the mountain. That's it. He's done this multiple times. And this whole documentary on free solo was about the biggest climbing stretch, one vertical sheer wall of El Capitan. It's a 3,000-foot climb, straight up, 90-degree angle. And no one has ever climbed it before, nobody, in all of history that we're aware of, even in modern, there's no one that's ever, there's been attempts, but no one has ever made it to the top. And so this was the whole documentary, was about this man, Alex, climbing to the top of El Capitan. And I will tell you, it was nail-biting the entire time. You're thinking, okay, he had to get up super early. He trains for hours a day just holding on to edges and things that, whatever, to just to develop his strength. And sure enough, you'll have to watch the documentary to see if he survives. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. To me, what was more or caught my attention more than just the scariness and like him doing an incredible climb of 3,000 feet is just how stupid it all was. No, I'm serious. Like, why in the world would you not use safety equipment that was designed? Why would you not use a buddy? Why would you scale a cliff? And he'll say, the reason we do this is because I just feel so alive. I just feel like I'm so alive when I'm doing this. And it's a thrill-seeking thing, obviously. But logically, think about that. Why would you ever do that? And that's what caught my attention, and it was actually what the videographer said. He said this in the documentary, and you can even look this up. He said this. He says, Alex says this first, the guy who's actually climbing. He said this, every single climber who makes free soloing a big part of their life is dead. He says that all of them end up dead, every single one of them. They all end up dying from free soloing, every single one of them. He said that. This is the person who was trying to free solo up El Capitan. Then the lead videographer for the documentary said this, and I quote, if you're pushing the edge, eventually you find the edge. If you're pushing the edge, eventually you find the edge. Now think about this. God gives every single one of us a free will, right? He allows us to not walk circumspectly. He allows us not to redeem the time. He gives you the option to not do that. In other words, you and I can free solo this life. We can climb this life without God's help. We have the ability to do and go wherever and whenever we please. God gives us that thing called free will, and we can choose to ignore the ropes and the safety harnesses that God has designed for us to keep us safe and to climb, or we can go free solo. But when we go free solo, eventually we will find the edge. And eventually we will hurt ourselves and others around you. But this is amazing. God will never force you to walk circumspectly. In fact, God allows us to walk with him for our safety. That's why he wants you to walk circumspectly, because he knows it's best for your life. Someone once said this: the safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. Remember, there are only 22 million seconds in a lifetime, and every second counts. So we've been called to walk with purpose. Let us be reminded of this tonight, that as we walk, as we choose, let's be intentional. Let's redeem the time. Let's buy it up. And remember that God has placed within us people and his word and relationships as safety nets. And many times we think that we know more and we're going to shrug that off and go climb free solo. Just know this. You have the option to do that. But there will be danger and you will find the edge. So we have to be very, very careful and cautious that we live and walk with purpose. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. You guys listened very well tonight. And I hope that this was an eye-opener for us all and that we understand what we've been designed to live and how we've been designed to live, and that is to walk with purpose. But how many of you would say here this evening, Pastor Josh, the Lord spoke into my heart in a multitude of ways. I don't know what that may be, but maybe in one particular instance or area, I know that God's been speaking to me either through this morning's message or this evening message, and I'm wanting to put action steps to this. Would you pray for me? There's some things that God has pointed out in my life or has caused me to want to make action steps. Would you pray that I would redeem that? I would buy that up, that I would redeem the time that I have to actually accomplish that, and that I would walk circumspectly. How many would say, Pastor Josh, God has spoken to me in some way, shape, or form here this morning or evening. Would you pray for me that I would follow through on those steps he's created? I just want to pray for you quick. Would you slip up your hand? Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, that's where we're all at. If we're not constantly adjusting and balancing that tension of life, right, walking where Christ has walked, we need to evaluate, because none of us have this thing together. Well, Father, I thank you for the opportunity we had tonight just to dive in your word for a little bit, to understand what you say about us and how we should walk and how we should live our lives. And Lord, there is this thing called time that you've given to each one of us, Lord, and we have a life to live, and that it is, the clock is ticking. And I just pray that every time that we make a decision to do something, that we would just quickly remind ourselves, is this something that is benefiting you? Is this benefiting our mission? Is this benefiting what we've been designed to do? Lord, because we are bought with the price, and also, Lord, because when we live the way that you designed us to live, it is the best way for us to live. It's the way you designed us. It's the way we're intended to live. So I pray that we would trust you and understand that you know even what we may not see. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, hopefully you guys were helped from this morning, this evening, but I'll just say this. Man, we serve an awesome God, and he cares for us, and he loves us, and I understand that each one of us are in different places in our journey, but I want us to make sure that we're constantly just reminded of that mission, and I hope we continue to do that. Remember, what is the mission? What is the mission? One more time, what is the mission? Right.